Your Future provides career and employment perspectives for anyone interested in learning how others have navigated their vocational choices. Listeners will pick up tips about creating meaning in their lives, building experience, developing a professional network, and managing their own careers to have a positive impact. Featuring lively discussions and special guests, we'll discuss unique career journeys and offer valuable insights into thinking about your future. It's never too soon to begin planning your career path, and it's never too late to make a change. Join us and learn how to take the stress and anxiety out of career planning.
We all know how important and life-changing it is to choose a career, but not everyone talks about how flexible, exciting, and scary the journey may be. Join career management consultant Winifred Winson and myself, Dana Mateus, as we dive into some of the myths and truths about career success, developing networks, and possibly impacting our vocational perspective. And now, sit back and enjoy this episode's conversation. Hello and welcome to Discovering Your Future, a Frederick Community College podcast. I am your host, Dana Mateus, a student at FCC and a production member of the podcast. And today our guest is Winifred Winson, an HR and career management consultant, best-selling author, and founder and executive director of Black and Dyslexic. So Winifred, tell us about your career journey. How did you get to where you are?
Oh, yes. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me. Well, my journey started when I was a communications major, similar to yourself. I was in college and my major was broadcast journalism, and I was shooting news footage and I was working the camera. I had experience in all facets in communications. And so that's what I thought my major would be, and I thought I would be the next Bob Costas, but I was just going to be a female. I wanted to do sports. My journey in college took a turn when my mother got ill and she had a stroke. And then 2 years later, she passed away. So I had to stop going to school. And when she passed away, I had to find full time employment. I had to take care of myself. So I was working full time and going to school part time. Mm-hmm. And I think I shared this with you. I was on the side of the road shooting news footage, and I was doing a news pack on a health initiative, and I wanted a shot of each building in my news piece. And so I had to go out by myself. I didn't have a camera crew with me. I had to set up everything myself. I had on my suit, my camera, tripod, and I was on the side of the road in a very rural country area in North Carolina. And people were they were saying derogatory remarks to me, racial derogatory remarks, as they drove by. And I thought, okay, I'm going to get footage of this building. And then the next stop, I was in a dicey neighborhood, like a hood neighborhood. I thought I was going to get robbed. People started crowding around me. You know, I got equipment from the school. I was thinking, you know what? I don't think I want to graduate and go somewhere and make $25,000 to $35,000 a year and do this. And then another side of me felt like the news was so manipulated. We'd do a news piece and we would get feedback from the director and then you would have to change it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really like that. And I didn't like how African-Americans were portrayed on the news. So I had a conflict with that. I didn't like it. But I got too further along in my career. And I mean, my major, I was like, I can't change majors. Well, what can I do with all these classes? And so I asked my advisor if I could switch to public relations. Right. And I thought, well, I could work for a big corporation and I could spin stories to sell their products. I like that a little better than the news.
Okay.
And one of my favorite professors, he was an adjunct. So he worked in PR and had worked for some top companies. And now he was our professor and he was so excited. He was so energized. He made PR seem like the best thing ever. And so I got to take a senior PR course, and I also did my internship with Special Olympics North Carolina in public relations. And so I relocated to the DMV area. I interviewed with some of the top PR firms. You have to take a writing test. They give you a scenario. You have to do a PR, a press release from that. I did all those things. And I thought, okay, I'm going to be working in PR. Like I just assumed, and having worked in career services, a lot of students feel this way. Once I get that degree, that's going to open up all these doors and the job I want will be waiting for me. And when I apply, they're going to hire me. And that is not what happened.
Wow.
That's not what happened at all. while I stepped back and did a marketing and communications internship, I found myself bored because I was just at the computer. I wasn't talking to anyone. And I'm thinking, wow, I've been here in Maryland for about a year now, maybe 2 years. I haven't even been involved in any volunteer work. In North Carolina, I was involved in volunteer work. And I just got on volunteermatch.org and started looking for volunteer work. And I found an organization in Bethesda. And I got a chance to work with women who were recently released from prison, who were overcoming drugs and alcohol, or who were homeless. And we did job readiness skills, resume writing, interview preparation. You had a mentee.
Wow, I think that's such an amazing experience. Like you get to help and have influence other people's life for good. And I think at that point, you discovered what was missing in your life. I mean, through your volunteer experience, you learn about your passion. And I think that's really powerful. I think that we learn about ourselves through like real world experiences or volunteering for something rather than a school setting. I mean, I think that's the case for many of us. For example, for me, I remember last year I volunteered for an organization that sent toys to kids in Latin America. So I was only packing boxes or helping in the parking lot, nothing, you know, nothing fun, but because the main goal was to help a community or help people, I felt like really good about it. I felt happy all the time, and I did an amazing job all the time because I was happy and I was passionate about the meaning of what we were doing. I think it was really powerful for me. And after that, I realized that my passion is in feeling that I'm helping a community or helping people, you know, having an impact on community. And yeah, I learned that because of that experience that I had.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I love the work. I thought, wow, I like this. I really, really like this. And so I started asking the other volunteers what type of work did they do? And they worked in career services or HR. And so I thought, okay, I just need to make a transition and I'll go into career services or HR. And I'm so green and I'm so naive, but I love it now thinking back because I wouldn't make a decision like that now. But I was so like, oh, that's what I want to do. World's going to open up and let me do it. And so I started applying for jobs and they were like, oh, you don't have experience. You don't have experience. You don't have experience. I was like, well, I'm a great writer. I love writing.
Yeah.
I love writing since a child. Since I learned to read, I started writing fiction books. I'd write on loose leaf paper and stuff it in my drawer. My mother would go through my drawers. What is this? I'm like, mommy, that's my book. That's my book. Put it back. Yeah. And so I said, I love to write. With all the writing I had to do as a communications major, I'm like, okay, I got this. I'm going to start a resume writing business. That'll get my foot in the door. Because what I realized is that when I was volunteering, whenever I could not participate in the 4 or 6 week long semester, I would volunteer as a resume writer. So they would send me a profile, the person would fill it out, and then I would create a resume for them. So I was like, okay, I can do this. So I got immersed in the resume writing field. I joined professional organizations. I was on E-List. I got contracts with larger resume writing firms. And then I saved up my money because by this time, I put PR in the back burner. Now I'm focused on, you know, helping folks in capacity. And I was working in sales and I was making really good money. I earned bonus and commission. But I didn't feel like I was making a difference. You know, I made money and all of the people around me were really driven by money.
I actually understand because last year I really got into real estate. So I got my certification and everything. And when I was ready to go and make those connections and talk to other agents, I realized that maybe their passion was different than mine. They were more about selling and making more money, and the environment was like very competitive, which of course is sales, but I felt like I was more on the helping people part. So that got me thinking like, maybe this is not the right environment for me.
Yeah. Now, in hindsight, I know that you do need the money. Make the money and then set yourself up so that you can help people. Right. Mm-hmm. So I probably would have done things a little differently, but I made a strategic move that I would save up enough money and then I would make a career transition. Mm-hmm. And so I started interviewing in higher ed. Having the sales and account management experience looked very desirable because at this time, higher ed was doing a shift where they were thinking more about placement, right? How do we get students jobs? Yeah. And so now they're splitting career centers into career, like you have the student services, career counseling division, and then you have employer development, employer engagement division, right? So because I had that small business experience managing business accounts, that looked desirable. So I was able to get in on the employer engagement side. And I had a director who really believed in me because I was going to NYU from Baltimore, taking a course on the weekends for career planning and development. And that allowed me to see students and also build relationships with employers. But in doing that and getting to that point, it was very hard because I made two stops. I did one city quasi agency and I thought, I'm coming from corporate America. There's no accountability here. I can't work with these people. Like, they're not helping. And then I worked at a proprietary school and I felt like they were doing a disservice to the students and I had money saved. So I'm like, okay, 6 months in, this is not working. You know, I'm leaving. I told the director, this just didn't sit well with me. You know, it doesn't align with my morals and yeah. I can't do this. A lot of these students look like me and they're getting a worthless certificate and don't even have a high school diploma. Mm. And so when I started interviewing in higher ed, it was very interesting. A lot of the folks there had been in their position 10 years, 15 years, you know, and they were like, oh, we see that you work here 2 years and now you got 6 months here and 6 months here. I'm like, well, no. I'm making a career shift. If you look at my history, I worked at this company for 4 years. And once I graduated, I relocated. And now, you know, this is what I've decided I want to do. And no one would hire me. And I was like, well, wait a minute. What is going on here? And so I was very fortunate to get that first job in higher ed at a college that worked with adult learners. And so the students reminded me of myself, right? Working full time, going to school part time. You know, I can remember calling my advisor and doing a session 8 o'clock at night on my phone because I got off work and I had something to do. And she said she would do it for me. And so that environment and those students really resonated with me. If someone was running late, oh, don't worry, I'll be here. Take your time. You know, don't rush. I'm going to be here because I knew what it was like to be the full time, you know, just to like to be an adult and trying to earn your bachelor's. Right. I knew what that felt like intimately, feeling like you needed to catch up in life. That work was really, really meaningful for me because I felt like if I can help someone, you know, find their career, it's going to change their life. And I looked at my mom. She was a nurse and she worked in long-term care for almost 30 years. 2 weeks before she had a stroke, she had been approved for an adult daycare center. Her and her friend was going to go into business together and they were going to run an adult daycare center. And this was in 1998. And back then, me and my sister was like, an adult? What? How is that? What? And now in 2022, when I see those vans, I get a little teary-eyed because I said my mother was onto something. I always felt like when you help someone find a career, work that they enjoy, it changed lives. It changed families. I worked with friends who worked in the sales office. And then when they switched to the service center, their kids were like, oh, my mommy's a new mommy. She's so much happier now. Right. And I knew how meaningful that was because we spend so much time at work.
That's right.
So I felt like helping folks navigate their careers was just I thought it was the best job you could ever have. Right. Sometimes folks don't realize how talented they are. They don't realize all the skills that they have. And you pull that out, you bring that out in them. And you're like, oh, my gosh, I can do that. Oh, wow. That sounds great. I really do that every day. And I pride myself on having work experience. Right. A lot of my colleagues had a undergrad in psychology. They got their graduate degree in psychology or organizational development. Then they did a graduate assistantship in the career center. And then they start working in the career center. So my thing would be, well, when's the last time you applied for a job? You know, have you interviewed in different settings? Like, I wasn't impressed. Yeah. I was impressed. And I also felt like you guys might have more tenure, but you don't have more experience than me. Yep. So I did that and also grew my business, resume writing, career coaching. I started doing workshops and presentations. And then I decided on a graduate degree in HR because I said, I'm not a counselor. I don't want you on a couch with me. If you don't know what you want to do, I probably can't help you. I don't have the patience for that. Mm-hmm. But I deemed myself a career coach. And I loved understanding how I can help businesses, but also how I can help them develop their talent, develop their incumbent staff. I would always tell my students, you are the CEO of your career, right? You don't wait for an employer to make an opportunity for you. You make an opportunity for yourself. So I wanted to learn more about how you develop staff. So I earned my graduate degree in human resource development. And I was very clear. I didn't want HR management. That's oversight. I didn't want that. I wanted something that delved into people. How do we develop people? And I said, well, that will make me marketable because I could just drop off the development and just say HR, right? And it's not boxing me into just a career in higher ed. That's what I was, that was my thought process. And so when I earned the degree in HR, I wanted to then work in HR because I said, well, I'm still running my business. I can still help people with career coaching, but now I want to understand how employers hire. I want to understand applicant tracking systems intimately, not just from what I'm learning from employers in the career center. Because one thing I knew is that a lot of employers didn't use our database. A lot of students didn't use our database, right? So now I'm all engaged in LinkedIn. I think I was one of the first colleges to start a LinkedIn group, right? Because I said, we got to go where the employers are. We got to go where the students are going. And I started working in HR. So I got some HR experience under my belt. And my ideal job was associate director of career services, managing the employer development team. That was like the job I wanted in higher ed. I didn't want to be director because that would take me away from students, right? I wouldn't really get to see students. And so that was my goal. And I have a couple of people under me because, you know, I have ideas on how I want to move this forward and a great, you know, employee development team. And I got that job. It was an hour and a half away. And now I'm a mom. And one day it took me 2 hours to get home because it was raining. And my daughter was going to start school that next year. And it all shifted. I said, you know what? Mm-hmm. I cannot do this, right? I'm a mom now. It's too far. And by this time, I joined boards. I was adjunct teaching. And that was another motivation for me to earn my master's is that my favorite teacher in undergrad was that adjunct professor who worked in PR. And I kept feeling like students aren't coming to the Career Center. Again, let me go to them. Let me get in the classroom because they're coming to the Career Center telling me what their marketing professor said about their resume. And I'm asking him, well, when is the last time you created a resume? You know, this is a career marketing document. Let me do this. I'm the professional. You stay in your lane. And they believed anything the professor said, right? So I said, well, let me get in the classroom. So I was adjunct teaching a couple of sections. And then I dropped down to work at the high school level. And I was a high school teacher teaching career research and development.
Interesting. I mean, I see that you did many career changes through your journey. And that's actually really cool because you get all these experiences. But I'm going to be honest. I mean, for me, I'm at that point where applying for jobs, applying for internships, for those experiences, those opportunities, and I feel like it's not easy. Like, I may be perfectly qualified, but so are other 20 people or 50, and I wonder how important it really is to learn to network and make those connections. I mean, how does networking play a big role in your life?
Yeah. Networking was a huge part of my transition, right? Once I got in higher ed and I really pride myself on practicing what I preached, right? I need to be networking. I need to understand how to network. And I was a natural networker. I kept in touch with people. Hell, I had pen pals growing up. I don't know if you remember that, but folks who are in my age range, you wrote someone that you never met and they wrote you back and you became pen pals. And I'm like actually Facebook friends and have met them in person now that we're adults. So I've always been a networker and always pride myself on listening to folks and finding out what they need and how can I help them.
Right.
Yes. Yes. Finding out, listening to what people need and seeing how I can help. I think I shared with you, I met someone on LinkedIn. I did an informational interview and he was associate director of employer development. Right. And I'm thinking, you know, I said, I aspire to be in that role. How did you get into that role? Lo and behold, he shared with me that he was looking for opportunities on the East Coast. He, you know, wanted to relocate. And whenever I saw opportunities on the East Coast, I shot him an email and said, hey, are you still looking? There's an open position here at this university or what have you. And he ended up interviewing for a director position at the school where I worked.
Wow.
It was all from networking. So when I got the position in HR after earning my graduate degree, it was by networking. Someone I knew said, hey, Winifred, are you interested? I thought I remember you saying you were interested in HR. I said, oh, yes, I just earned my HR, you know, graduate degree. I want to work in HR. So that's how that opportunity was presented to me. And then when I became associate director, that was another opportunity by way of someone telling me, look, I'm leaving. My position is going to be open. I can put in a word for you.
Right. And I also believe that the more you talk and the more connections you have, also letting out people where your passion is and they are able to give you those opportunities as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If I go back, my internship in Special Olympics was by way of me volunteering at an event. And I happened to be sitting in the bleachers and a young lady start talking to me. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I go to UNC Pembroke. And, you know, I live in Fayetteville. She said, you live in Fayetteville. That's like 2.5 hours away. Yes. I said, I know, but I'm a communications major and I just switched to PR and there's an opportunity for me to be a media. I'm telling her, yeah. And I have the summer's coming up. I'll be looking for an internship. I'm just talking to her. Lo and behold, she was the VP of communications for Special Olympics. And she said, we have an internship opportunity. I don't know if you're interested. It's in Raleigh, North Carolina. You should apply.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I got it, by going to this event because I wanted to help. And I always volunteered for Special Olympics in high school. So I thought it was just like perfect. Okay. And I love basketball and it was a basketball game at the time. And so I was like, okay, this is a win. This is a no-brainer. Three wins here, Special Olympics, basketball, and a media correspondent. And I didn't do any media corresponding that day. I distinctly remember that. But me sitting in the bleachers, having that conversation led to one of the best jobs I've ever had. That was by far the best job I ever had, that internship. And it was a non-paid internship. So networking really had a lot to do with my career by way of getting opportunities for my business with my colleagues and classmates up in New York at NYU. So I built a network up there. And when I decided to come back to Baltimore after working as associate director, me being a high school teacher, that was a phone call. Someone called me and said, hey, I got wind that you want to come back to Baltimore. You want to, and you love teaching career development, because none of my friends, let's face it, nobody, people would say my college didn't have a career center. I'm like, yes, it did. And then the class I went to teach was career research and development. And everybody's like, you're not going to ever be able to teach that. You know, those opportunities don't come up. They're not even posted. But by way of networking and letting people know I'm interested, I got 1, 2, 3. I taught 3 different sections of career research and development. So that opportunity to teach it in high school came by way of a phone call. And then I ended up dropping down being a high school career research and development teacher.
Yeah, definitely. I think that people also give you those opportunities because they know that you're passionate about helping people and that you're going to do a great job at it. So, I mean, we know that careers are not linear, and we know that you can start studying something and then thinking you have all figured it out and only one way to go, but actually finding a job through volunteering or networking that can get you a job that you didn't necessarily plan, but absolutely love, right?
Yes.
So do you think that passions, can they evolve or change over the years as well?
Oh, absolutely. And that's what happened to me. So I was working in career services and HR, and I kind of lost my steam for it because I just, back then, there weren't a lot of mentorships and a lot of coaching. I remember asking one of my supervisors, I told her I wanted a mentor in the career space. And she recommended a woman that I didn't feel like, I didn't look up to this woman. I didn't want this woman to be my mentor. I actually wanted her to be my mentor. And I didn't know how to come out and say it. And I was like, ugh, I don't, like, that woman doesn't impress me. I don't, I'm not interested. And so when I got out of career services and when I went back, again, I was like a little bit ahead of the game. I really wanted to focus on virtual trainings, virtual events, so we could reach more. And no one was really there yet. And mm-hmm. oftentimes I felt myself being the lone ranger, coming up with these ideas, coming yep. up with these things to do, and nobody on board with it. And so as that would turn, I closed my business. And I was working an initiative here in the city to help Baltimore City residents get into entry-level jobs. And my daughter was identified with dyslexia. And that just changed everything, because having been a former educator, having worked for the school system, I didn't know how to help her. And I had friends that were special educators. I had friends that were principals. I had friends in the space, but no one could help me navigate how to get special education services for my daughter. And I thought, okay, this is weird. I'm reading. I'm like, okay, why don't I know this? And I found a support group with the organization, a grassroots organization called Decoding Dyslexia Maryland. And it was mostly white women, and some, you know, wealthy stay-at-home moms, some, yeah. but it was mostly white women. And I thought, oh, here's a need, because dyslexia is hereditary. And my research showed me that a lot of black and brown children were not being identified or incorrectly identified. And they definitely weren't getting remediation, right? They weren't getting the interventions. The private schools are predominantly white and they're very expensive. And it was like a light bulb went off. I'm like, this is what I'm supposed to do now, because mm-hmm. I never wanted another parent to go through what I went through. You know, in a matter of 3 days, we were told we needed to come up with $22,000 to help my baby learn to read.
Oh, wow.
And this included an independent educational evaluation and a very expensive summer tutoring program.
Yeah.
I didn't know that there were options. I didn't know about other resources. Mm-hmm. There was just so much information I did not know about. And I ended up fainting at work. I was so stressed. I was internalizing it. When I woke up, I could not speak and I couldn't move my left side for like 90 minutes. They thought I had a stroke. I went full blown panic because my mom had a stroke and my daughter wasn't 23. My daughter was only like 8, right? And I was in my early 40s. I wasn't in my 60s like my mom. And I just was like, oh my gosh, what is going on here? It comes to find out I just had a severe migraine. I had a migraine with aura. I think I'm pronouncing that right. And so I thought to myself, I need to make a shift, right? I need to make a shift. And I needed to learn and understand more about how to help my daughter. So I switched careers. I became director of admissions of a special education school because I needed friends, one, who were of a different socioeconomic status, because I've really figured out that it's people with money that were getting the help.
Yeah.
So I needed people with money, not people who were rich. I needed friends who were wealthy, like who could afford $38,000 private schools. And I just became immersed in it. I became a state leader for Decoding Dyslexia. I was helping parents because that was my passion. I didn't want another parent to experience what we experienced. And then I found that black and brown parents really needed help. And so before you knew it, that became my brand. That became my identity. Mm-hmm. You know, and I started a podcast, Black and Dyslexic, and I founded a nonprofit, Dyslexia Advocation. And we make remediation affordable for parents. And we also provide access to a network of providers. And I remember recently driving in the car with my daughter, who's now 12. Uh-huh. And she said, "Mommy, what did you get your undergraduate degree in?" I said, "Broadcast journalism." "Have you ever worked in broadcast journalism?"
Wow.
I said, "Well, no, but now I am as a host of a podcast."
Amazing. Yeah. I mean, I think that it's truly inspiring how you did not hesitate to change your career, like every time, from broadcasting to helping people with their careers to creating resumes to creating your own organization, right? So I mean, personally, I am a person who thinks long and hard before making any radical changes, like anything, because I feel like I don't want to make a mistake. So what are your words of motivation for people like me?
Mistakes, failures are evidence that you tried. And I think I said this before, you won't ever make that mistake again, right? Because it sits with you so long and you're trying to figure out how not to do it. Now, yeah. I know what I did not know then is that I have ADHD, so I'm neurodivergent. And all this research and switching passions, I found out, like most parents, once they find out that their child has a learning difference or is ADHD, they find out like, wait a minute, that's just like me. So a part of my ADHD is that I am a risk taker, but I'm also action oriented. Yeah. So I can sit on the sidelines and not do what my mind is saying. Oh, this is, you know, this is creative. This is what you need to do. But I tell my daughter all the time, I don't want you to be afraid of doing anything. Right. Because you can do anything you put your mind to. Don't let fear stop you. Because right. And regret. And that's like failure is how we learn. I think about teaching my daughter how to ride a bike. She never thought she would learn. She would get off that bike. She would fall. Really, she would fall down. Get back on the bike. And now she's riding the bike. She's standing up on the bike, right? But she fell. She fell all the time. She has bruises to prove it, right? Mm-hmm. But we have to move forward. And there's nothing wrong with a mistake. There's nothing wrong. You fail forward. Yeah. Right. So I would tell all students, don't be afraid to try something new and different. Right. Because if you are passionate about it and you want to do it and you're interested in it, you're going to do it. Like you really are going to do it. Right. Because you want to do it. Think about the classes you didn't want to take. I hated logic. I hated logic. Why do I need logic if I want to be a communications major? Like, why am I taking this class? Right? You got through those things.
Actually, I remember being pretty nervous about taking the public speaking class because, I was so worried my accent and everything. And I ended up loving it. Like, it was one of my favorite classes. So I think we really have to, like, just do it, right?
We just have to do it. And when you talk about that and communications, I'm originally from Brooklyn, New York. Mm-hmm. Then I moved to North Carolina. And now I'm here in Baltimore. So I was always cognizant because it gets drilled in you the way you speak.
Yeah.
Your communications voice. Hi, I'm Winifred Winston. How are you? Uh-huh. And, you know, people would say, how come you didn't lose your New York accent? I'm like, well, if you catch me on a good day and I break down, you'll hear the North Carolina. You know, you catch me on a good day, I still might say coffee, you know, but as communications majors, we always think about how we speak because there's so much emphasis placed on that. And when I was in New York, one of the professors there in the program, she's very hard on us, like very hard. I was like, geez, I thought I spoke okay. But it stayed with me. And there are some times when I don't enunciate words and I still hear it. Or I'm watching a news show and I'm critiquing it like, ugh, really, do you have to sound like that? But now the way things are, we're looking for more authenticity. We're looking for folks to be more organic so they can relate to their viewers and relate to folks, because you may have people that you're trying to reach who are just learned English. Right. And I know when I was learning Spanish, that was the hardest thing for me to speak it. I could understand, but I was always afraid to speak. So, you know, if you speak and you're natural with it and you're communicating, then you're going to reach the audience that you're supposed to reach, right? You're going to reach the people who you're supposed to reach. So I would definitely tell students, don't be afraid and don't feel bad if you have a major and you decide that you don't like it anymore, or you go in a major, you graduate and that first job, you're like, this is not what I thought, or that internship, like me, I was sitting there bored out of my mind, like, okay, I'm creating Adobe flyers or whatever, but I don't get to interact with people. I don't get to talk to people. This is not for me. And I remember when I left adjunct teaching, I was teaching in person and I was going to teach online. So I had to leave that position. My students were saying, Professor Winston, who are you going to talk to? I said, what do you mean? They said, are you going to line up teddy bears and talk? Because you like talking to us too much. I don't see you being an online teacher. They're like, how's that going to work for you? But give yourself grace. Right? Yes. Give yourself grace. The career you start with may not be the career you end with.
And, you know, that's the main reason why we are creating this podcast, to let people know that it's okay to have different experiences. It's okay to try new things and see if you like it or not. I think that's a very powerful ending sentence. And yeah, I want to thank you again, Winifred, for, you know, taking the time to talk to us and sharing your amazing story. For me, I know it was very inspiring, and I know that's going to be the case for our listeners as well.
Absolutely, my pleasure.
All right, to wrap it up, this has been another episode of Discovering Your Future, an FCC podcast with your host, Dana Mateus. Thank you for listening.
Hope this episode has served as inspiration for you and will help you make wise decisions involving your professional career. We appreciate your continued support. If you have any questions or topic suggestions, feel free to leave them in a comment section. And don't forget to visit the FCC website for great career info and counseling.